On to agenda item 9, proposed land transaction. This is a decision. Lots of different items on the list here, many of them from Okanagan County. So Dan Budd, a real estate section manager, will walk us through.
Commission. On today's agenda, the department is recommending the acquisition of 5 properties, the purchase of 2 conservation easements, and the lease of a pipeline right-of-way. However, before I discuss the individual transactions, I'd like to review the department's process for acquiring land for fish and wildlife conservation. When acquiring habitat for fish and wildlife, the department is guided by species and habitat plans that identify conservation and restoration actions that will benefit fish and wildlife. Project scoping and need are identified in these plans. Projects then go through an evaluation and prioritization step, which includes the land's 2020 process before the land transaction step begins. For the items the department is recommending today, the scoping and need step and the evaluation and prioritization step have been completed, and we are now at the land transaction step. We have completed most of the stages within the land transaction step. We have completed appraisal and appraisal review, negotiated and secured options, and are now at the stage of recommending approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. A critical stage in implementing our acquisitions is appraisal of the real property to be acquired. State law requires that real property be appraised before beginning negotiations. It also requires that the agency provide the seller a written statement informing the seller of the agency's determination of value. The source of funding sets the standard for appraisal requirements. The Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice meet the requirements for state funds, while federal funds require what is commonly referred to as Yellow Book compliant appraisals. The department contracts with independent fee appraisers to conduct the appraisals. We currently have 43 firms under contract, and we request fee quotes from firms experienced with a specific type of property. Appraisals are then reviewed for compliance by the department's chief appraiser, Sean Kies, who is state certified and also holds the MAI designation from the Appraisal Institute. If federal funds are being used, review and approval by the federal agency is also required. When appraisals have passed review, a statement of just compensation is issued and negotiations with the landowner can begin. If landowner negotiations are successful, the department then brings the transaction forward and recommends approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We are now at that stage with the transactions the department is recommending today. The first item is the transfer of 119 acres on Willapa Bay to the department from Forterra Northwest, a conservation organization. This transfer is part of a larger project in Willapa Bay, which was reviewed and approved through the Lands 2020 process. The property is located approximately 5 miles northwest of Nacelle on the south side of Willapa Bay. The purpose of the Nacelle River Willapa Bay project is to protect high-quality wetlands, including estuarine, emergent salt marsh, and freshwater forested wetlands. The property adjoins existing department ownership on the bay. This property's habitat is beneficial to marbled murrelet, as well as 250 other bird species and 53 species of mammals. The property will be managed as part of the Johns River Wildlife Area with an annual operating cost estimated at $1,000. Funding for operations will be provided from the existing wildlife area budget. This property was acquired by Forterra with funds provided by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under a National Coastal Wetlands Grant and also private funds provided by Forterra. The second item is the proposed purchase of 191.63 acre Matson property in Pacific County. This action was approved by the Commission in March of this year. Subsequent to the Commission's approval, the proposed acquisition has been reconfigured, which resulted in a change of acreage and price. The Department is now recommending approval of the reconfigured transaction. This property is located approximately 3 miles southeast of El Waco and is part of the Bonneville Power Administration Chinook River Estuary Project, which was evaluated and approved through the Lance 2020 process. The purpose of the project is to provide increased salmon habitat through tidal inundation. This property provides tidelands for salmon habitat restoration and opportunity for increasing salmon habitat through inundation of its existing lowlands. Secondarily, it is adjacent to the Chinook unit of the Johns River Wildlife Area, and with its significant frontage on Chinook Valley Road, it will improve public access to department lands. The property will be managed as a unit of the Johns River Wildlife Area. Annual operation and maintenance costs are anticipated to be $1,600, provided by Bonneville Power Administration. Bonneville will also provide the funding for the purchase. Item 3 is the purchase of the 116.15-acre Pickering property as part of the Okanagan-Similkameen Watershed Project in Okanagan County. The purpose of the project is to enhance riparian shrub steppe and big game habitat management opportunities. This project has been reviewed and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. The property is located south of Loomis. It is an inholding within the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Department of Natural Resources land along the east boundary of the Sinlihican Wildlife Area. The property is currently utilized by the Sinlihican Bighorn sheep herd for foraging and travel habitat and by wintering mule and white-tailed deer. Preservation of this property will protect this habitat for bighorn sheep and mule and white-tailed deer. The property will be managed as part of the Sinlihican Wildlife Area. Operation and maintenance costs are anticipated to be $1,000 annually. Annual payments in lieu of property tax to Okanagan County are estimated at $580. Funding will be provided by the existing wildlife area budget. Item 4 is the purchase of the 1.31-acre Heath property in Okanagan County. This acquisition is part of the Meadow Wildlife Watershed Project, which was evaluated and approved through the Lands 2020 process. The purpose of the project is to protect riparian habitat, big game habitat, Cross Valley Migration Corridor, and enhance management opportunities with adjacent department-owned lands. This property is located on the Meadow River, approximately 7 miles northwest of Winthrop. It is adjacent to the 1,164-acre Big Valley unit of the Meadow Wildlife Area. Acquisition of this property will secure high-quality riparian forest and eliminate the impact of private access through the wildlife area to reach this property. The property will be managed as part of the Meadow Wildlife Area with annual operating costs estimated at $250. Payments in lieu of property tax are estimated at $10. Funding will be provided from the existing wildlife area budget, and this purchase is being funded by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Cooperative Endangered Species Conservation Fund. The following items 5, 6, and 7 are a block of properties involving interrelated parties. Items 5 and 6 are proposed conservation easements. Item 7 is proposed fee purchase. All three items are part of the Meadow Watershed Project, which was evaluated and approved through the Lands 2020 process. The properties are located approximately 5 miles east of the town of Twisp, off Highway 20 on the Upper Beaver Creek Road. They lie within the geographic envelope of the Meadow Watershed Project. The properties abut existing department land to the northeast and an existing conservation easement held by the department on the west. The northernmost property is owned by Eldred Baker and is proposed for fee title purchase. It abuts the existing Meadow Wildlife Area and will provide direct access from Upper Beaver Creek Road to the wildlife area. The two port properties proposed for conservation easements abut Highway 20 and Upper Beaver Creek Road. They also adjoin and will enhance the conservation value of the existing conservation easement to the west. These properties have a high potential for conversion to subdivision and residential development. The purchase of the Barker property and the conservation easements on the Port properties will prohibit subdivision and further residential development and protect the wildlife habitat benefits, which include migration corridors for large mammals, significant winter range for mule deer, and sensitive shrub steppe habitat. The Barker property and the Port conservation easements will be managed as part of the Met Owl Wildlife Area. Annual operating cost for the Barker property is estimated at $800. The annual payment in lieu of property tax is estimated at $200. Because the Port properties involve conservation easements and not ownership, there is no operating or payment in lieu of property tax. However, the easements will require monitoring. The cost is estimated at $1,500 annually for the two properties. Funding will be provided by the existing wildlife area budget. The purchase is being funded by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Section 6 program. Item 8, the final item, addresses a request from the Yellowstone Pipeline Company to renew its longstanding right-of-way across the Columbia Basin Fish Hatchery property in Grant County. The 100-foot-wide right-of-way is situated on the department's 160-acre hatchery property near Moses Lake. The pipeline is underground and runs east and west along the county road at the northern boundary of the property. The underground cathodic protection cables run 590 feet southeasterly into the property. This pipeline has been in place since 1962 under a right-of-way granted by the Department of Game. Similarly, the proposed renewal will be for 50 years. Yellowstone has offered the appraised value of $12,300 for the renewal and has agreed to new liability insurance requirements. Department staff have evaluated the request and have determined there will be no adverse impact from renewing the agreement. The department recommends the commission approve the land transactions as presented, and I'd be happy to address any questions.
Okay, Commissioner Schmitten.
Thank you, Chair. And we received a letter today from Okanagan County. It was dated August 1. If you haven't seen it, it's okay because I'll read my question. In the letter, they make this statement. Okanagan County billed state payment in lieu of taxes in 2012 for $484,000 and only received $151,000. And in 2013, we billed $523,500 and only received $151,000. Explain again. I should know why there's a difference, but that's a significant difference that they're raising. And then I have a follow-up question.
Okay. I'll try to be brief in my response, but explain. Up until the 11-13 biennium that we just completed, the law provided for counties to elect one of three options. First, provided for them to allow to elect to receive PILT or not. And if they did, they had three options they could elect. One was 70 cents an acre. Another option was the amount that was paid by the department in 1984 for land that was owned at that time. Or the third option was they could charge the same rate that other land similarly located in similar land that was held in open space was being charged. That law was put into place in 1984. Very few counties availed themselves of the open space rate. As time went on and the counties were having concerns that we were taking land off the tax roll and their tax base was being eroded, we responded by explaining that they had the opportunity to collect the same amount of tax revenue off of land the department owned as their previous owner of that property was paying and as the neighboring properties were paying. So it was along about 2009 or about 2010, I think it was around 2010, that Okanagan County implemented the open space rate, which took what we had been paying in Okanagan County, and I don't have that number exactly, but somewhere around $130,000 to $50,000. It took that number up to almost $500,000. The following year, Chelan County and Yakima County followed suit. Chelan County went from about 20,000 up to about 50,000, and Yakima County went from about 100,000 up to about 400,000. The following year, just about as the session was going, we received a letter from Kittitas County saying they were going to follow suit, raising from somewhere around 100,000 up to 600,000. We were facing about a $2 million PILT bill, where our average PILT had been around 500,000 a year. We went to the legislature asking for a supplemental budget to cover this coming shortfall, and what resulted from that was legislation that rolled the clock back to the 2009 PILT billings. And based on that, the legislature in the legislation actually defined for each county how much the department would pay. We weren't at that point had no choice, but the $151,000 that Okanagan is referencing is absolutely correct, and that is state law. We have no opportunity to pay them anything other than what this legislature and governor said. So that
history was excellent. A specific question now on item three, the Pickering property. Can I do this in memory of Commissioner Perry? I noticed that in item three, you actually have, if you look in the northern part of the red acquisition, a road going through this property. We've got, $1,000 annually for maintenance costs. Is that going to be enough for road maintenance, probably pickup of trash on occasion?
It mixed in with the much larger Sinlihican wildlife area, the $1,000 is more based on a formula than it is an actual. We believe that it's going to cost that much. We don't know, but the reality of it is it will be managed in concert with the rest of the wildlife area, and the cost of operating this one piece of ground won't be broken out, and that's our best estimate on it. I will say that eliminating inholdings of private land in this setting really reduces the cost of operating the wildlife area, because it gets away from road. We can close roads then where we want to rather than where the public wants them closed.
Thank you. Commissioner Kenney?
Those are really helpful explanations, because I also read those comments from our commissioners, and I think getting that kind of factual information out on a broader scale is really good, not just at these meetings, and possibly maybe some publicity to that effect would really help, because if not, sometimes just these numbers get used, and it's not exactly the whole situation. My question is related to, they also had concerns about that we were following, WDFW was following their requirements to not do any new purchases. And I believe in conversations with Deputy Director Storr, and that I think that is entirely true, that these are all purchases that were in the works prior to any agreement on a moratorium of new purchases.
That is correct.
Okay, and then the easements, of course, conservation easements are a little different story, because I think there's agreement that those can move forward as they occur.
Yes, that's our understanding.
Another issue that was brought up, I think, by the Farm Bureau to me is the fact, and as I look through this would be very helpful to me, is what happens to the water rights? And as I quickly glanced through these, I realized by looking at the pictures, I don't think there's any irrigated acres except possibly on the Barker property. There's some cropland that shows up in the picture, and I think, well, it would be much better if we truly identified, what are the ag acres, what are the irrigated ag acres, and what happened to the water rights associated with those properties, if there are any water rights. And in this case, am I correct that there are no irrigated acres in any of these Okanagan purchases?
The Barker property actually does have some greened up cropland, but it is dry land farming. It, by nature of the type of crop that was there, it is green in the photograph. It has no water rights. The Barker property, there are no water rights associated with it. The Gregport property has water from the Red Shirt irrigation ditch, And so it does, there is some small amount of irrigation going on. The class of water right is pretty high number-wise, low value-wise, but it does have water rights with it. That is a conservation easement, so the water rights, of course, will continue to operate with the owner. However, one element that we include in our conservation easements is that the landowner will retain the water right to that property and not relinquish it or sell it downstream to another party. But if they do relinquish it, that they leave it, that it goes to in-stream, rather than, we had a very unpleasant situation on a property before we were able to acquire it. The owner of the property sold the water downstream to another county, into another county for use, and that was not of no value to Okanagan County. So that we're trying to assist in that respect.
I appreciate that. And I think just having those facts clear in the presentation would go a long way to help some of the groups that look at that and then they can't quite see it or it's not clear, because it wasn't clear to me. And so knowing that there is water rights on an easement, though, that will stay with the property, it's just important to the folks, you know, back in Okanagan County.
Great.
And the last issue would be the it was brought up with some the livestock grazing, that there is some seasonal use, I believe, on the easement properties. Mm-hmm. And I would assume that that continues.
Yes.
The only thing that's changed in an easement is the development rights are gone. So there's no additional restrictions put on those properties by WDFW of restricted grazing. Is that correct?
There's the grazing that will be continued to allow, that the conservation easement does address the grazing, but it allows a level of grazing that is probably right where the property is at now, or perhaps it is, the property is not even being grazed to the limit that the conservation easement would allow. There is a balance in here of working lands. I mean, that's kind of the concept of the conservation easements, is to allow land to be continued working farmland.
Excellent. My last item. It was just brought to my attention that the word inholding kind of can put a burr under somebody's saddle. And your explanation as, you know, well, when is my property going to be an inholding of the great land buy? And your explanation that, you know, it's just a word, just a term, but these little blocks of land that are surrounded by state land or even other ownership of public can become a real maintenance problem just because they're isolated, and that bringing these into a larger body makes it easier and drops the maintenance costs. Again, just good solid information that I wish more of the public could hear would be great. So thank you.
I think Director Anderson had something to add.
I did just want to offer a few remarks relative to the properties that are being proposed that are in Okanagan County. So whenever the time is right.
Would you like to go forward, Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Minister. I have a real short clarification question. On my summary sheet under item 4, Dan, it says 1.13 acres, and I thought I heard you say, and you read it to us, 1.31.
It is 1.31. That's an error in the summary sheet. I thank you.
Commissioner Holzmiller, would you like to ask a question?
No, I just want to make a comment. Ever since I've been appointed to the commission, beyond a doubt, the comment that comes up in my part of the world is it doesn't seem like the Fish and Game is going to be happy till they own all of Assotin and Garfield and most of Columbia County and most of Okanagan County. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. They can never be outbid, and it's robbing the future from our younger kids. We've had some issues in the past with fire. It seems as though we're getting work through those. But no, in my part of the world, it's a huge concern.
Thank you. Director Anderson, do you want a good segue into what you were going to say, probably?
You know, I know the commission is well aware of the efforts that the department has made to work with, in particular, Okanagan County, county commissioners regarding our land acquisitions in that county and our conservation easements. And I've had the opportunity, although it's been some time ago now, over a year, to meet with the county commissioners. There's been some turnover since that occurred. Then Regional Director Dennis Beach and Dave Bertel have met regularly with the Okanagan County Commissioners to discuss land acquisitions, our conservation goals, how they are aligned with the county's objectives. That led to about a year ago, we had an MOU that we entered into with Okanagan County, and as part of that MOU, we were going to engage in an economic analysis that would focus on the impact to the county from land acquisitions, conservation easements, and so that as land acquisitions were considered or conservation easements were considered on into the future, there could be an understanding of the economic impact of the county, positive or negative, as well as a solid understanding of how it impacted the conservation, habitat protection goals of the department as it pertains to fish and wildlife habitat. In June of last year, I had an opportunity to meet with, just at the time, Commissioner Hover, and we talked about how we could go about move forward and make progress with the development of the economic analysis, and I talked about kind of having a pause on, in particular, acquisitions, not necessarily conservation easements. We had a number of acquisitions and or conservation easements in the works at that time, and in some cases, offers had been made and accepted, and they were at various stages. So as we've gone through the last year, I think there was about eight, could have been nine, on that list. And as we have gone through time since then, we have been coming back to the commission as those transactions became complete and ready for commission consideration. This is the last of them, what you see here. I put a particular focus in terms of working with the wildlife program and land division of focusing on those that were either conservation easements, they were additions to wildlife areas that were currently in place, or they were in holdings. Apparently there's some sensitivity to that word, but where we had private land that was surrounded by public ownership, and in particular state ownership, and in the case of the Pickering property, it's surrounded by DNR and DFW ownership. So that focused a much more narrow focus in terms of where we would look in terms of opportunities. Since then, of course, there's been an election last November. There was some turnover in the membership in the Okanagan County Commission. They have come out clearly by letter to this commission, I believe both in May and now again here in August, with their staunch opposition to land acquisitions in their county by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. From my perspective, we took a step backwards from where we were a year ago because we were going to try to have a joint economic analysis done, and now we're looking at doing our own independent economic analysis, which unless there's some sort of a miracle, I suspect that they'll have some different conclusions. And so we will then be faced with how do we match these up in a way that they're informative to future decision making about potential future acquisitions or conservation easements. However, that doesn't mean we're going to stop our work to try to work with the county to get us to a point where there's a common understanding of what our goals and objectives are from a conservation, land conservation perspective, and to the best of our abilities, have that match with the county's economic development plans. There is no, but just want to make sure, there is no policy that says we've put a pause on our efforts to ensure that we have habitat conservation in Okanagan County in the future. What there has been is a clear message from me to them that we were going to pause and hold off pursuing any further acquisitions or conservation easements, but particular with a focus on acquisitions until we could complete this economic analysis, provided that it's done within a reasonable time frame. So, well, what is a reasonable time frame? Well, I guess I'll know it when I see it. It's not 5 years, but it's probably not 6 months either. It's probably, but I hope that sometime within the next 6 to 12 months we'll have an economic analysis complete. I'm hoping they'll have theirs complete. I'm hoping we'll be able to have the right discussions with the county, and I hope then that will help inform us as we move forward with the potential of any additional acquisitions in Okanagan County. So it's not an open-ended pause, but it is a pause while we try to coordinate with the county and ensure that our concerns and objectives are met from a habitat conservation perspective as it relates to healthy fish and wildlife, and at the same time being mindful and considerate of the county's economic development plans. So I wanted to put that in context a little bit for you, reflect back on where we've been in the last really almost 2 years in working with the county, and our continued commitment to work with them so that we can make sure that we have as much cohesiveness as possible as we seek to achieve both of our missions.
Good explanation. Thanks. Very helpful. All right. Any other comments, questions for Ken? I think I just want to thank you because over the years you really have crafted your presentation to anticipate what our questions would be. So they become more standardized in terms of presenting a full range of information on what the objectives are, then the funding source, the maintenance costs. So, again, great job. Thanks very much. We're going to have controversy about land acquisitions, we know. For the benefit of our new commissioners, maybe we should have a Lands 2020 portion of the orientation so you get a sense of just the steps in the process before they even reach our desk.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any public input? No one signed up to testify, so we're ready for a motion. Commissioner Smith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the land transactions as presented by Dan this afternoon.
Do I hear a second? The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Kenney to approve the land transactions as presented. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Motion carries. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.